Gimel Amud Beis, the last small line. Okay? The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Right, we're in the middle of a whole bunch of statements in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This one, actually, Rashi says, has nothing to do with Megillah. It's about walled cities, but not about Megillah. Okay, this is our part, and then we'll go back to the laws of Megillah. Tosfos disagrees. Says it has to do with Megillah as well. But says the Gemara, V'amr Bishua ben Levi, Krach sheyashav ulubisof hukaf. If you have a city that was already dwelled in, and then afterwards it became hukaf. Afterwards it became walled. I mean, it wasn't walled right away. First the people lived there, and then it became a walled city. Nidon kikfar, that has the status of a regular kfar. Meaning it doesn't have the status of a walled city. Now, what does it have to do with? So Rashi says it has to do with Bati Arichoma. The halacha is that if you own a house in a walled city from the times of Yeshua bin Nun, also, that's what the Torah's Kohanim says, that's to be back from then. So I have this house, right? And I sell it. So the halacha is that if it was sold in a walled city, the seller is only allowed 1 year to buy it back. If he doesn't buy it back in 1 year, that's it. It stays by the buyer forever, even after Yovel. Forever. It stays by him. However, a regular house that you sell in a non-walled city, you're allowed to buy back until Yovel time, and in Yovel comes back to you no matter what. Okay? So we always need to know, is this house that you sold in a walled city or non-walled city? So the Gemara says, Yeshua ben Levi says, that if it was a krach that was already inhabited, and then it became walled, no, that's not called a walled city. My time, Diksevi ish ki yimchor beis moshav ir choma. A person sells a base moshav, a house that you live in, ir choma. The Ran says that the word moshav with a patach under the shin, moshav, instead of moshev, or I don't know what it should have said, but if the word moshav is clear that it's smichut to the words ir choma. So it means a bias, that was moshav in the ir choma. The house was already dwelling in the ir choma. Shehukaf ulbesof yashav, that first it was an ir choma, first it was walled, and then it was inhabited. Below Sheyeshiv, not the people lived there, but so Fukov, and afterwards it was surrounded. The Malbim on the Pasuk points out that you never have the word Beis Moshav anywhere in the Torah. It normally just says a bayis, a house. So the fact that it says the word Moshav, it's clear that the word Moshav is related to the next part, that the Ir Choma. There had to be a Moshav in the Ir Choma. It had to be dwelled already in a walled city, as opposed to dwelling first and then having a walled city afterwards. Okay, again, the Rashi learns that this has nothing to do with the laws of Megillah. But now the Gemara goes back to the laws of Megillah. V'amar Bishua ben Levi, krach she'en bo asar batlanim. If you have a city, a big, very, very big city, Rashi says, that doesn't have 10 people who sit in the shul all day long for the minyanim, for learning Torah, they batlanim, they're battle from work, they don't work. Nidon kufar. That loses its status of a big city, and they're able to go down early to hear Megillah on Mondays and Thursdays. You have to have these 10 people sitting in your shul. My kamash malan tanina. What do we know that already? It says ezu here ir gadola. What's considered a big city? Kol sheish basar batlanim. As long as there are 10 people who do not work. Pachos mikan. If you have only 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How is that kvar? That's considered a regular village that could lean on Mondays and Thursdays. So the Gemara answer is no. Krach itzrichale. A krach is a super big city. Why did it need a super big city to be taught that only if you have a sarbat lanim? Because avagav the mikle lay mi alma. Because these huge cities have a lot of stores and a lot of shops. People go there for vacation. A lot of people go there. That's not where they live, but they go there to shop. Okay, mikli le'ma'ama, they walk there from the world. I mean, they go there from other places. They visit there. So there are a lot of people in Manhattan, right, that aren't working. They're there shopping, right? The people go, they go to Eilat to shop. They're not going there to work, right? So I would have thought, oh, there's so many people here not working. So it must be that must have the status of a big city because there are people that aren't working there. So this is no. You need kvuim, like Rashi says. You need the second line from the end of Rashi. Being in kvuim, you need set people, not visitors. You need 10 people sitting there in the shul always so that they're always found there. You always have this substantial group over there, and that gives it the status of an ir gadol. Tosa says on the bottom of the page that a walled city doesn't need this condition. World cities of the times of Yeshua ben Nun do not need this, the condition of 10 people sitting there. Only very, very big cities. Okay. Says the Gemara, Vamar Bishua Ben Levi, another statement. Krach Shecharvel Besof Yashav. A walled city that was destroyed and then was inhabited. Unclear what that means right now. Nidon Kekrach, it still has the status of a walled city. What does that mean? My Charv, what got destroyed? Ilema Charvu Chamosav. If you're going to tell me it means that the walls were destroyed, Yashav in, Lo Yashav Lo, if the walls were rebuilt, the word Yashav means to rebuild the wall. Rashi says at the last Rashi. If they rebuilt the walls, then it does have a status. But if it didn't rebuild the walls, then no, that's not true. V'atanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asher lo choma. Again, a lesson from Batei Orechoma that the word is lo lamed aleph, like no, Asher lo choma, that it doesn't have. But we read it lo the way we're supposed to read it is lo with a vav. Okay, so meaning for him there is a wall. So how does that make sense? Afa pisha ain lo achshav. He doesn't have a wall now. V'haya lo kodem, but it did have a wall before. That's okay. So what does the word mean? What does it mean that it was destroyed and rebuilt? It can't mean the wall because the wall doesn't have to be rebuilt to be called a walled city. Elamai charav shecharav me'asar batlanim. It used to have these 10 guys learning in the shul all day long, not working, and then it went away. So it lost its status of a big city. But then it came back, even though maybe we would say, oh look, it lost it once. How are we going to know it's going to stay there forever? Maybe these 10 guys in shul are going to disappear again. No, if you brought it back, even though it went away, if you brought it back, it regains its status as a big city, and you lay it on the 14th. V'amr b'shua ben Levi, moving over to Dalet Amar Aleph. Lud, V'ono, V'geach, Arashim, these three cities, Mukefas, Choma, M'yosh, Yeshua ben Nun. They were walled at the times of Yeshua ben Nun, Havu. In fact, the Gemara asked the Gemara, "Vahani Yoshua Benani? Did Yoshua really build those walls? Vaha Elpa'el Benani. Elpa'el built it. Diksiv Ubinei Elpa'el Ever Umisham Mishamer. Hu Bana Es Ono Ve'es Lud Ubinoseha." These people that were generations after Yoshua, that they went ahead and they built these cities. Asked the Gemara, "Tameich, oh." We have other problems, according to you, because Asa banani. Then you should say that Asa built it. That it says that Asa built it. So anyway, there's a lot of confusion over here. Who in the world built these cities? Amr Bilezer, Hani Mukafas Chomim Mil Yeshua Ben Nun. No, they were already walled cities earlier at the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. Havu Charuv Bimei Pilegish Begiva. These were in the towns of Binyamin. These three cities were in Binyamin's territory. And in the story of Pilegish Begiva, when the Jewish people came and they fought against and they took over, destroyed the place of Binyamin, so these cities got destroyed. The Asa El Pa'al Banani. El Pa'al came along and rebuilt it. Hadr Inpol. Then it went ahead again. Hadr means again it did it. Inpol, it fell. Asa Shaptzinu. Asa came and he fixed it all up. Dekanami Diksiv Ayomer Yehuda Nivnes Ha'arim Ha'ele. Let's go build these cities. Mechlal Da'arim Havu Meikar. Must have been cities beforehand that were being rebuilt. Shema Amina. Period. New Gemara, again in the name of Yeshua ben Levi. Amr Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayavos b'mikra megillah sh'afin ho'i ba'oso anes. Famous Gemara. Right? Women are obligated in mikra megillah, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah. It's a mitzvah asei she'azman grandma. We would have thought that women are exempt. Still they're chayiv. Why? What's the new obligation? What obligates them? Because afin ho'i ba'oso anes. Rashi says, women were also part of the decree to be destroyed, and therefore they also have to celebrate, and they also read the Megillah. Tosus brings another opinion over here. Tosus says, not that they were also part of the decree, but the main miracle happened by a woman. Right? Shirkan Yisrael of the Purim, Aydei Esther, also by Chanukah, Aydei Yehudis, for Pesach, Shabbos, Tzidkanios, the righteous women in Mitzrayim, Shavuos Ador, that was the reason that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. So that's a big machlokas between Rashi and the Rashbam as to what does it mean, Afei Noi Bosanes. Does it mean that they were included in the decree, they were going to be destroyed in Chanukah, they were going to be destroyed in Purim, they were going to be destroyed in Mitzrayim, and that's where they're obligated in all the mitzvahs of those holidays? Or no, it means that they were the main heroine, as you say it in the story, and therefore they're obligated in these mitzvahs. big sugi over here, not for now. Vamer Bishuv Levi, a new Gemara, period. New Gemara. Vamer Bishuv Levi, another statement of Bishuv Levi. Purim, Shechalios B'Shabbos, Purim falls out on Shabbos. We know we don't lean the Megillah on Shabbos, like we're going to learn, because we're afraid that people are going to carry their Megillah out into the streets and carry in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. But still, Sholim V'Dorshin B'Nyanu Shol Yom. You learn the Inyanam, the ideas of the day. Here's a Machlokes. It seems like between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says, Sholem Midorshin, what it means is that you get a translator up in front of the rabbi, right, and you teach the story of Purim to the masses. Meaning, on a Shabbos Purim, you're supposed to get up in shul and teach everyone the story of Purim. Okay, Tosos seems to say, no, Dibur Maschil, Mai. Tosa seems to learn, it means the halachos of Purim. Doesn't mean the Megillah, it means you're supposed to teach the halachos of Purim. Fine, so the Gemara asks a question. My year, you're Purim. Why are you highlighting Purim? Afil yantiv nami, even on a regular holiday. The Tanya, Moshe tikan lehem liYisrael, Moshe instituted b'nei Yisrael sheyusholim v'dorshim b'nyano shel yom. That they would learn the ideas of the day, Hilchos Pesach, but Pesach, Hilchos Hatzeres, but Hatzeres, Hilchos Chag b'Chag, Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, all those things, you always learn the days. So what do you have to tell me, Purim? Every holiday, it seems like that's what you're supposed to do. Answer the Gemara, no, Purim is Trichale. Ma'u l'teim nigzer mishum deraba kamash balan. I would have thought on Purim that fell out on Shabbos, just like you don't learn the Megillah, because we're afraid people are going to carry, maybe we should also decree that you shouldn't learn this in Yano Shal Yom. Now, according to Rashi, this makes a lot of sense. Because if we're going to go ahead and use a Megillah and tell the story, maybe we would think that people would carry out the Megillah to hear the story. Kamashla, no, it's mutter. Why? Because only the rabbi, only the chacham is telling everyone the story. So it's only one guy, and he knows a lot. So we're not afraid the masses are going to come to shul with a Megillah, because there's no reason for a Megillah. According to Tosos, that the idea was that you teach them halachos, so the havamina is that we're going to afraid that just like you're learning the halachos of the day, people are going to think, well, maybe I'm also supposed to lay the Megillah that day, and they're going to carry out the Megillah on Shabbos. Kamashla, we're not worried that far that we're going to go ahead and carry. Fine, new Gemara, period. New Gemara. Amar Bishua ben Levi. Another statement from Bishua ben Levi. Chayv adam likos es Megillah b'layla v'lishnosa b'yom. A person is supposed to read the Megillah at night, and then shnosa, we don't know what that means right now, by day. Shenemar, l'kai ekra yomam v'lo taneh, v'layla v'lo dumia li. That's a pasuk in Tehillim Chav Beis, which the Gemara in Maseches Yuma and Daf Chav Tesamad Aleph 29a says is referring to the Esther. It starts off Lametzeach Alayeles Hashachar. That's referring to Esther. Okay, so in that parak of Tehillim, it says that they called out to Hashem by day, and again by night. So therefore, we see night and day. Okay, but what do you do exactly? You read it by night and you shnosa by day. What does that mean? Sover mine, people thought, lemikri balayla, will read it by night. Vilemisna masnisin didabi mama. You learn Maseches Megillah, the Mishnayis, by day. That's what people thought. They didn't know that we started already, right after Hanukkah, to learn Maseches Megillah. Okay? So they thought that at night you learn the Megillah, and at day you go ahead and you learn the Mishnayis. Because Mishnosa, from the word Mishnayis. Okay? So, but the Gemara says, no. That's not what it meant. Rabbi Yirmiya told them, "Lididi mifarsheli minei." The Rabbi Chia bar Abba, I understand what it means. It means kigon da amri inchi. Like people say, "Evor parsha samara." Read the parsha. Dav esnia, and I'm going to go repeat it. The word mishnosa here means to repeat, meaning you lay in the Megillah at night and then you repeat it by day. It manami. We also find another source to that. Amr Rabbi Chalbo, Amr Ula Bira. That was the name of the place. Chayv Adam Likos says a Megillah Balayli. He's supposed to, obligated to read the Megillah at night. Lishnosa Bayom, and do it again by day. Shenemar, he brings a different pasuk. Laman Yizamercha Chavod Velo Yidom. Hashem Elokai Laolam Odeka. You're supposed to praise Hashem, the Kavod of Hashem, and not be silent. And then it says it again, La'olam Odeka, you're always supposed to thank Hashem, and that is related to Megillah. Rashi in the bottom says, Zemercha kavod bayom velo yidom balayla. V'haikra b'mizmor aromimcha Hashem ki dilisani. Darshinu p'sikta Mordechai v'Esther. Mizmor shir Chanukah sabayis l'David. Right, we say that in the beginning of P'sukei Zimra. The p'sikta says that's referring to Mordechai and Esther and Haman Achashverosh. Megillah is a shvachu. The last line of Rashi on the page underlined in blue in my Gemara. That Megillah is a shvach. It's not just telling the story, but it's praising Hashem because you're mefarsin esanes. You're publicizing the miracle. V'akol mekalsin. Everyone says, "Wow, Hashem is amazing." So therefore, it's a function of praise to Hashem. by reading the Megillah, it's a mercha kavod v'lo yidom. It's going ahead and you're praising Hashem, and therefore we're able to learn that it's by day, and again, l'olam, also by day. Okay, we'll stop here.